The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
1 week of Super League done and dusted, Parky. How was it for you?
As a Leaf fan, probably not the best, to be fair. But
you got a taste of your medicine.
What do you mean I got a taste of my medicine? I didn't get a taste of any medicine. I think it was just a case of just being a bit overrun, wasn't it, in the... Well, that middle 40-minute period. I think the first 20 minutes Lee stood their own. Second 40, well, it was just awful, wasn't it? And then Lee got carried away, didn't they, and ended up conceding 44 points. How was it for you, anyway?
It was all right. Bit cold.
Lost for Widnes, though.
It's a bit cold, wasn't it? Snowing on the Sunday. I've seen plenty of pictures of the Championship boys slugging it out in the mud and the snowy Yorkshire.
Definitely, yeah, yeah. There was
hard-fought game at Wakefield. And I sound like Ray French here. Why are we kicking off the summer sport in the midst of winter?
I don't know. Answers on a postcard, please, Nigel Wood.
Yeah, a bit cold.
Give over.
Was.
Give over. We had to put up with this for many years before we turned to summer rugby.
That's what I mean. Summer rugby league softened us all up, man.
You're right. I was there. Thermals, gloves, you name it. 10 layers and still cold. Anyway, come on. Let's get on with the show.
Welcome back to our second final hooter of the season. We're still a bit rim rusty, like the players were. A couple of guys never really hit the heights they did. There was lots of mistakes in the opening game between Leeds and St Helens.
I quite enjoyed that, though. It was really, really tense, wasn't it, all the way through. And I quite like seeing a game that's defence-orientated every once in a while. For me, that beats a 36-34.
I'd be more worried if I was a Leeds fan, though, because surely St Helens won't play as bad as that ever again this season and win a game.
I don't know, to be honest. You know, it's, as you said, it's really early days. The combinations are still there. I think Leeds are in for a much better season than last term, anyway.
Lee
will be a work in progress, I feel, yeah, but they've got a good chance this weekend against Leeds, haven't they?
They host
again.
Okay.
We just see the bottom four sides in Super League take centre stage this week, don't we? But that's not what we're here for. We're here to discuss the Championship. We said last week we were going to be having a Championship special.
Aren't we?
We're going to be hearing over the course of the next few minutes about Bradford, the biggest story that's been the close season. We're going to be hearing from Dewsbury, Rochdale, Hull, Kingston Rovers, Halifax, London Broncos, Swinton Lions, Sheffield and Oldham. You'll notice there's a couple of clubs there that we haven't mentioned, but...
We had to get some apologies in that we had to for Saints and Castleford fans.
Yeah, unfortunately we weren't able to speak to anybody concerning Batley, Toulouse or Featherstone.
Couldn't pin them down, could we?
However, we have got a couple of bits and bats, so don't feel left out, you Championship fans of those clubs.
Okay, then at that particular launch, we caught up with Bradford expert. I'm sure you won't mind us saying that, will he?
No.
He's watched his Bradford North and his Bradford Bulls from when he's a little boy, right the way through till now. It's Yorkshire Radio Supremo Matt Wilson, and we got the thoughts of him on what's been going on at Bradford during the off-season. Parking, normally the off-season's pretty boring, but there plenty of things have been happening with guys walking away from contracts, not liking the clubs where they should have been staying at. But the biggest story's got to be Bradford Bulls. What on earth happened there?
Oh, I tell you what, it's just been like one thing after another. It's a story that's been going on probably for the last 5 years, really, isn't it? With successive managements, and they've ended up in a situation there where the club's been put into liquidation, and it's been a travesty, really.
What a fall from grace. And one guy you'll probably know a lot about it is Radio Yorkshire's Mark Wilson and avid Bradford Bulls fan. Mark, what on earth where's it all gone wrong with Bradford?
Well, spending money you don't have, poor recruitment, wasting the money you have got. It's where do you start, mate? And you said it, successive. This has not been a one-off. This has happened 3 times now. And I think that's the disappointment for Bradford fans, is that it isn't a one-off. And, you know, they had a fresh start when Mark Green came in. He put them into administration. They were debt-free. And all of a sudden in 2 years they've racked up over £2 million worth of debt, and I think questions have got to be asked as to where that money's gone. We were critical last season of the recruitment that they did, 40 odd players, and still didn't have a scrum half. I think it took them till the last half of the season to bring in Dane Chisholm, and I think if they'd have spent what they spent on 10 wingers on one Dane Chisholm at the start of the season, they probably would have made the four and wouldn't be in the mess they're in now.
Is it difficult to take in just how quick it's happened? Because it's only 15 years ago that Old Trafford were lifting the Grand Final trophy.
Yeah, well, it's more recent than that, isn't it? But it's been a decline that, to be fair, has seen coming for quite a long time. You know, you see how the club, they started recruiting lesser players. I think the problem Bradford have had is they've always had this big, even when they're in the Championship, that they're a big Super League club, and they weren't. They needed to cut their cloth accordingly, and I think if they'd have done that sooner, again, they wouldn't be in the mess that they're in now.
With that in mind, what's the mood like on the streets of Bradford at this minute?
A lot of distrust at the minute, a lot of suspicion about what's happening. You know, the whole way that the takeover's been handled and what's the RFL's role in that. You know, I've been quite critical of that as well, how it's all been done. The club allowed to go into administration and then be liquidated. I'd question Jeff Tuvey coming in. You know, what does he know about the Championship? He's a great coach, but that's in the NRL. And we saw with Rowan Smith coming in last year. You know, I remember, I knew the day that Bradford were doomed, is the presser before the game at Featherstone, and I asked Rowan Smith about the hill at Featherstone, what was his plans to cope with that. He didn't even know what I was on about, and I thought they've no chance. And that's the thing, I think, you know, for me, a Carl Harrison, a John Keir type coach, someone that knows the division, is going to be backs to the wall this year for the Bulls. They're going to struggle, I think, to stay up in the Championship. So it's going to be a big ask. You know, the owners have got to put money in that they're not going to get back. So I think there's still a lot of mistrust about Bradford Bulls. I'd have rather seen them go down to League One and start again.
These guys with 20 years coaching experience can't deal with the hill at Batley.
There is, yeah. And he's right there where he says, Mark, because I actually remember speaking to Rowan Smith, I think after they played Oldham, and I'd asked him about the next opponents, and he didn't seem to know that much about them, which was a worry, and suggested that he was always on the back foot when he came in. Undoubtedly, he's been a very successful man, and, you know, he's been a man of principle because he stuck by Bradford, didn't he, through that dodgy spell?
He did, but he came in, they were in the top four when he took over from Jimmy Lawes, and ultimately they didn't make the four, and that's really fast forwarded the financial difficulties. You get the feeling they would have still been in trouble anyway, but maybe not to the extent they are now with the increased funding for making the four and the money that that would have generated for the club. But it's knowing the level, you know, and it's no coincidence that those that know the Championship level, the good coaches, get the best out of the team, they do well. And I think Bradford have missed a trick there. You know, Tuvey might be the best coach in the world, but the Championship's a different world to the NRL, and I think they're going to get some rude awakenings.
It's a brand new start for Bradford. Is there a way back to the Super League for them?
Not in the near future, I don't think. No, I think they're going to have to, I would say now, become a Batley, you know, cut the cloth accord. That's not disrespectful to Batley, but Batley run their business well. They achieve good results on the field. They're competitive. And I think as a Bradford fan, that's what you want Bradford to be. You don't want stories of not paying the tax man or not paying the players. And, you know, you wonder again, they've got a limited budget. You know, they'll be paying Leon Price quite a bit of money. They'll be paying Jeff Tuvey quite a bit of money. Where's the rest of the money coming from? So I think it's wait and see. Hopefully it works out. Obviously, I want them to succeed, but this year they're not going to do anything in terms of getting promotion, so it's going to be interesting how it goes. But work in progress, willing to wipe the slate clean, if you like. But as I said, there's a lot of Bradford public maybe not quite as willing to do that.
Are you surprised if you say that all still?
No, I think that's been part of the business, really, hasn't it? Because the rugby league's owned it. They've made sure that it's still available for sporting use. Whether it's the right long-term viable option, I don't know. And we don't know if the rugby league has plans for Oddsall in saying that, which is always a bit of a worry for the club going forward, I would guess.
Yeah, I mean, I said to, you know, to Nigel Wood, we had a briefing with him, and I said, why do you not just sell it? Because with the best will in the world, I've been going there for 30 years, it's a dump. You know, it is. It's a dump. It's got one nice stand, the nice coral stand. The rest of it's not fit for purpose. The one good thing that's come out is the RFL obviously got this lease, and Oddsley's worth a hell of a lot of money for landfill. So if I were the RFL, I'd sell it, put some money back into the game. Goodness knows we need it, and start, let Bradford start again. You know,
obviously Bradford need to reconnect with the fans. If that's the fact that the fans have got a lot of distrust.
Yeah, and you know, except for example, I went to the big grand unveiling. Oh yeah, Jeff Tuvey's the new coach, and he comes in. He's not even got a visa yet to start work. The season starts in, you know, this week, so it's a big word, that, you know, the mistrust, and there's still a long way to go for Bradford. And that's the thing. Once they win that back, then that'll be the first step to becoming good again. But that might take a while. You know, that might be more than 6 months. It might take a year, 2 years, and the owners have got to be prepared to finance it while that trust is building.
It's going to have to be a patient build, isn't it?
Very much so, yeah. I mean, as well, the players, generally what have been left, they're all young kids, and there was always that saying that you couldn't win anything with kids anyway. And speaking with some of the coaches here at the Super League launch, they've all talked about how players develop, and it's like a 3-year job. Some of those guys, they're only in year one, aren't they?
They are, and you know, you guys have watched a lot of Championship rugby as well, and it's a tough environment. There's no prisoners in the Championship. If you're not ready for it, they'll prey on your weakness, and the lads have got to hit the ground running. And I think what they will do, you'll get a lot of effort and endeavour early on that might cover up the weaknesses in the squad. But I think as it goes on, and you go out of places like Swinton, like Oldham, that are not easy to go to, that's when they might get found out.
Sounds like the loyalty of the fans of Bradford, it's going to be pushed to the limit then.
Yeah, I think it has been. You know, I know a lot of fans 30 years plus that are not renewing the ticket. They'll renew it when they see something happening off the field. And it's not about a winning team. You know, I first watched Bradford Northern. They were rubbish. They were bottom of the league. The only thing you went for probably was that David Hobbs would have a dust up with someone. It added a bit to the excitement. They were never going to win. And then obviously we've gone full circle. They've won everything, most successful side at the time. And now it's gone back. And now they're back at the bottom again. So, you know, as a sports fan, you take the rough with the smooth. But all you ask is that your players and your club are run properly and they try their best.
Sounds like they're going to have that fighting spirit of David Hobbs then.
Very much so, yeah. I'm wondering whether maybe this is why they brought Ross Peltier in. You never know, because he's been a rough, tough competitor at League One for the last couple of years.
Yeah, he has. And, you know, we all know how brave rugby players are, and they're going to be pushed to the limit at times, this Bradford squad. Hopefully, we're in, you know, news they might be getting loan players from Leeds and from Salford and stuff like that. So it looks like they're going to get a little bit of help, but they'll need every little bit of help they can get.
It's not going to plan so far. Play two, lost two, bottom of the Championship.
Yeah,
still.
I mean, they got blasted at Hull Kingston Rovers, which I suppose was no great surprise in week one, but it was a massive surprise them perhaps losing to Rochdale Hornets. But I don't really want to do too much down on the Hornets, in fairness, because they've been brilliant since they've come up. But they won for the first time there, 46 years, Adrian.
I was still in my nappies.
I wasn't even here.
What a thought that is, to put you off your breakfast.
Absolutely unbelievable.
Or your dinner, or your tea. Depending on what time you're listening to this podcast on loverubbilly.com. But anyway, Rochdale, for the second final hooter in a row, they've come up with the result of the week.
Yeah, I mean, they were magnificent against Dewsbury last week and last time out, weren't they, when they won 46-0. They followed that up with a great 22-14 win at Bradford. Miles Greenwood's gone there from Halifax. He can't stop scoring. Samir Tirui, a former Bradford player, he went over for a try. And Danny Bridge, once upon a time of Warrington Wolves, he scored too. And Lewis Palfrey, the man that they brought in from Oldham, can't stop kicking the goals at the moment, when they won 22 points to 14. Brave effort from Bradford. Maybe they should be doing a bit better. I don't know, but it's one of those, isn't it? I'm conscious of us really concentrating too much on Bradford, despite them
everybody
being the big story.
Because
Rochdale Hornets deserve immense credit for everything that they've come up with so far. I mean, you'll hear from Alan Killshaw. You can tell already that he was pumped for the season before it started.
Let's hear from him right now, because he said at the start of this interview, everyone thought Rochdale finished about 7th in League One last season.
I think we were predicted to finish 7th last year in League One, so obviously straight from the off we had a bit of a point to prove, and we did make a lot of history, but that's what it is now, and we've got to try and make some more this season and do well in the Championship.
That's where you are now. It's going to be a big challenge.
Yeah, definitely. It's a real tough, uncompromising competition, and with the obviously the central funding, the how it's, you know, varies from the top to the bottom. Obviously, we're going in at the bottom, and it's a difficult task. But we feel we put together a good squad on a smaller budget, and we can surprise a few teams in the Championship like we did in the League One last year.
Looking at your new additions, are you happy the way they fitted into the Rochdale way?
Yeah, definitely. We've still got a bit to go, but we've had three hit-outs, you know, one against Salford, one against Warrington, where we've competed with two quality teams, and we've also beaten Oldham, and everyone seems to have settled in well and are enjoying it. So, you know, that's a big thing, especially at, you know, semi-professional level, and I think we will get better as the season goes along. It'd be good, you know, for the town to get behind the club. You know, attendances weren't the highest last year, but obviously there's some great games this year. You know, you've got different teams with you know, we've got Bradford on the calendar this year, Oldham on the calendar, Halifax, you know, your London, your Hull KR, you know, to name a few, and that's a much better prospect than, you know, some of the lesser teams in League One. So hopefully attendances will spike, and you know, that excitement will continue throughout the season.
It's been difficult for our clubs to make this step up from League One to the Championship, so you're obviously going to be aware of that challenge.
Yeah, but look, Oldham and Swinton did well last year. You know, Batley did well against the odds as well, and hopefully, you know, we can, you know, follow that trend. It will be difficult. You know, there's two teams going in this year, and obviously Toulouse are well backed in their full time. But we feel, you know, as the teams in and around us, I think we're confident we can beat them on our day, and we'll just have to make sure that we're up for it, you know, week in, week out. It's a very intense competition. You know, maybe in League One you can have a week off and still win. That's not going to happen this year. So, you know, it's up to us as coaches to prepare them every week, and the players to go out there and, you know, see that plan out, basically.
2-2, what a start by Rochdale.
Brilliant start, brilliant
start.
Top of
the league.
Top of the league, yeah. We've just checked out the table. We can't believe it either.
Even above the mighty Rovers of Hull Kingston.
Oh, well, that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. They've got to finish above them. They've got to finish above them. Come on, Rochdale. They're the team that we're backing on the loverugbyleague.com podcast this season.
Where we're doing a Championship special, might as well link up the Manchester teams together and concentrate on Swinton Lions when you caught up with John Duffy. You ask him, how's his pre-season been going?
Better than last year, pal. A lot more stable. Everything's going well off the field at the club now. Obviously, you listen, John's brought Rob Parker in and he's doing a fantastic job commercially behind the scenes. So everything on the off-field, you know, side of things is doing fantastically. We've had a good pre-season. We've had a base. Wigan Warriors have been fantastic with us. We've done most of our pre-season at Wigan Warriors. It's obviously fantastic facilities, and now we've got our own base in Manchester at the university, so it's been real good off season. We've not been messed about either, and everywhere we've been settled, everywhere we've been.
And that's just a big part of it, isn't it?
Well, last year it was horrendous, to be fair, and I don't know how, looking back, you know, and reflecting on the season, I'm not sure how we ended up getting our first win after everything that was going on. You know, we didn't know where we were playing. We played an home game at Widnes and all that kind of stuff. So it's good to be settled. It's good to have without doubt, the best squad I've had at the club, and probably at the club for a long, long time, the best squad. And I'm just excited about the season.
John, looking at the recruitment that you've done, you've brought, 7-8 different players in.
Yeah.
How have they all settled?
A lot better than I thought. You know, without bringing 8 players in, you know, I thought we'd have to do a lot more team exercises, but they've blended in really well with our squad. I've always had a good group of lads, but it's been surprising for me how well they've fitted in, and they've actually bought into the club straight away, so we must be doing something right there. And that's all the families as well. We had a family feed a couple of weeks ago, and there's 50 odd people there in the restaurant. So, you know, it's a good family club, and like I say, everyone's bought in, and just looking forward to getting going.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
And boy, did Swinton get going. Well, they did at the weekend anyway. They narrowly lost to London Broncos on week one, but they managed to defeat Dewsbury by 8-6. That was the game that we talked about in the opening bit of the show, wasn't it?
Where
it was
old school rugby, that.
Absolutely dreadful conditions, up to your ankles in mud, and then to the point where you couldn't tell who was who come the end of the game.
That used to be the challenge back in the day, Winter Rugby League, trying to spot which team had the ball?
Yeah, we've
and
got
who
it.
The player was.
We've got it easy, to be honest, these days, haven't we? When we do our commentary, and it's the middle of summer, and you know, there's barbecues happening at grounds. You know, you were lucky to be able to get feelings in your toes back in the day, weren't you?
Can't remember. That was that long ago.
That's because you're just showing your age now, Adrian.
Sticking with the Manchester theme, one team that's, I do apologise, that's holding their own in the Championship, early doors in the Championship, it's got to be said, but Oldham will be more than happy with the fact they lost narrowly to Featherstone in round 2, 8-6, but defeated Sheffield in round 1, 26-10, and you caught up with Scott Naylor.
As far as training does, and especially training at Oldham, where it's probably the coldest place on earth, it's actually gone really well. Yeah, training's gone good. It's probably one of the best pre-seasons we've done in terms of quality and what we've managed to get out of it. All the lads seem happy and what have you. Yeah, so all the lads that were injured over the friendlies are all now available. So yeah, we're looking forward to the league campaign starting.
Looking forward to that league. Championship always gets even more competitive. It's been ramped up again with Toulouse coming in. What are your hopes?
To improve. Obviously, the qualities, I agree, is a lot higher. Toulouse, you know, the journey there obviously is not going to help, and the full-time team thing's not going to help. And then for us, it's the other team that's got promoted is Rochdale. So it's, for us, the form book was out the window. So the two teams really, like people probably thought about us and Swinton last season, is where people look at you as the newly promoted teams, is I don't think it's like that this year. I think it puts a lot of us on a level playing field, really, and it's going to definitely make it more interesting. I think you'll probably find that people are winning and losing every week, and it's a completely mixed up league this year. You probably get obviously the breakaway teams like London and KR and whatever, but Featherstone and Batley will obviously be strong, but I think the rest of us are kind of like all beat each other and just fight it out for the remaining 8 spots on the table.
Have you got your agreement with Huddersfield continuing this year?
Yeah, the Joe Reggie sorted. We sorted that out when last season finished, to be fair. Rick Stone's been brilliant from Huddersfield about it all. He's a strong believer in it, obviously being from Australia, and he's been great so far. You know, we've had a couple of lads off him in the friendlies, and we've obviously got a couple. We've got lads going forward, and the quality of the lads he's on about giving us is good. And we got a couple of loan lads from Cast that we had last year. We managed to get them on season-long loans again this year, which has been good. So yeah. I mean, it's the quality of the squad's obviously what you're looking for all the time. You want that to be at the highest, because whether you rotate or whether you bring lads in, or for whatever reason other people play, you want those lads obviously to be capable to play. And this division is extremely difficult. And I think last year we obviously had 80% of the team had never played Championship rugby before. They'd only ever played Academy or League One. And I think that was the biggest task for us as a staff and the players themselves was to be at that level every single week. Because in League One, they could, in theory, you know, raise the game for once every three or four weeks. Whereas in the Championship division, you have to be 100% every single week. And that's because the quality of the league is so much higher. So, you know, the lads that we have this year, the quality is a lot higher. The understanding of what we want from them is a lot higher.
Everything's a lot higher.
Everything's a lot higher. Yeah.
Sounds like it's going to be competitive. And he mentioned the dual edge word as well. Don't like dual edge. Not a fan of it.
Well, okay, you might not be a fan, but certainly Oldham getting the best out of it at the moment off Huddersfield. I mean, they had a few good players last season. They've also got a couple of players there, as you mentioned, from Castleford on loan as well. So that's all helping Oldham be far more competitive. I suppose when you're up against so many clubs that are spending so much more money than you, you've got to try and get an edge, haven't you? So this is obviously helping them. And I just feel that, you know, they've made a good start. They've made a great start to the season, actually. I mean, a few people probably didn't expect them to be quite as comprehensive victors over Sheffield as they were. And then they put the fright of their lives past Featherstone at the weekend. And Featherstone were just so, so fortunate to win that game.
They certainly were. I'm sure John Sharp would be happy to have got through that challenge.
Yeah. But, I mean, this time of year, I suppose this is where you find out the character that's in your side and just what you've got going forward and the ticker that's under the bonnet, really.
My word, Glenn Morrison would be mad at the opening two games of Dewsbury then.
I mean, they were
not called Mad Mozza for nothing, you know.
They were awful against Rochdale, where they actually had, I mean, this is the double-edged sword of having dual registration, because their dual-edged partner is Wakefield. So they had, I think it was 3 or 4 players from Wakefield in the very first game.
Right.
And, you know, Rochdale again played a superb 80 minutes and managed to nil Dewsbury. And, well, to be honest, they've only scored one try in 160 minutes worth of rugby so far, Dewsbury, and they've lost both the games.
I interviewed Paul Sykes at the launch. I asked him about the pre-season. He said it was going pretty all right.
It's pretty good, mate. You know, the boys are ready to go. We've had a good tough pre-season. We've had four games, you know, to get combinations right. And we're looking forward to next week.
Guys, obviously not disappointed not to have made the qualifiers last season. Is that the aim again this year?
Yeah, you know, well, everybody says it every year. We've got to finish as high up as we can. You know, we want to do like one better than what we did last year. We want to finish in, you know, the top half of the table, put us in good stead for when it splits off.
looking at the challenges ahead, who's going to be standing in your way?
Oh, but this championship gets stronger and stronger every year. You know, there's some good teams. You know, Toulouse have come up, and Bradford's and OKRs, Battlers. We just hope to surprise a few teams, and you know, get some good early wins, and then work our way up the ladder.
I suppose the main benefit for you guys is your home form.
Yeah, it's important. It's important for every team. You know that you play well at home. We didn't do that last year, but you know, we want to put that right and get as many home wins as we can, as well as picking up away wins on the way.
As always, there's always new guys coming into the team. How have they fitted in?
Fitted in pretty well. You know, we've got quite a young team this year, and a few experienced lads and a lot of young heads. You know, can gel quite well, and obviously, you know, I think we've got Joe Reg as well, so. If we get a few injuries and that, you know, Glenn can call upon some Joe Reg players.
I think you'd be raiding Wakefield at this point.
No, not from that opening weekend, if that's anything to go by.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, they've been very disappointing, Dewsbury. And I know that, you know, you tipped them quite highly last season, didn't you?
They'd go all right this season.
They didn't really live up to expectation, and already they seem to be a little bit behind the eight ball. But it is still early days, isn't it?
It is.
So anything can change over the next month or so.
Right, Toulouse, they were surprisingly beaten in the final game against Rochdale.
Yeah.
Right, but they did come through the playoff game against Barrow.
They did.
Right. Everyone's expecting them to be challenging at the top of the Championship alongside Hawkinson Rovers as well, as they continue their progress towards potentially a Super League spot.
Kind You're getting off. Ahead of yourself here,
yeah,
Adrian.
But it came off the rails against Sheffield.
Yeah, and again, Sheffield absolutely superb on the day, really did. I mean, they're sharing Wakefield Trinity's facilities, aren't they? So we all know what a mud bath it was when they played against Hull at the weekend. They followed it up, did Sheffield. So just about half an hour later, there they were playing rugby against arguably one of the higher fancied teams, shall we say, of the Championship this year in Toulouse. And they give him a bit of a schooling, to be honest. I mean, you know, comprehensive result. Scored, what, five tries in total. Sam Hopkins, who's on dual contract from Lee, Matt James, Matty Fozard, Menzieri and Gary Lowe.
How old
scoring.
Is Menzieri?
Nobody knows. Nobody knows.
Jukebox still going.
He is still going and still scoring tries as well. Toulouse, well, they were still within the game but found themselves eventually losing out by 32 points to 14.
Sunday night rugby league won't work. Everyone mourns about Thursday night.
They've no choice though, have they? Because they're sharing facilities with Wakefield, so they've agreed this.
Why can't they play Saturday afternoon?
Because they wanted to maximise use of the stadium, and hopefully some people will stop behind and put money into Sheffield coffers.
Right, okay.
You can understand
I get that to a certain extent. But you can hear them all moaning. You can hear people moaning about Thursday night.
Well,
Sunday
yeah.
It's not going to work.
Yeah, but Thursday nights, we're stuck with it now. Stop moaning. Get on with it. That's what I say.
Obviously not bothered about what night they play and where they play. It's Jed Cochran, he's the assistant coach at Sheffield, and you caught up with him at the Championship launch.
Oh, where do I start with your pre-season? Because, right at the start of it, we weren't sure whether we were going to see a club.
Yeah. I don't think there was any doubt that there was never going to be any club. I think things got played out of hand, and you know, we kept our cards very close to our chest and let people talk to you, innit? You know, we knew where we'd be and where we'd be at. We knew the squad that we'd have. We always knew there'd be a future for Sheffield Eagles in Championship. I know there was talks about us going to Championship 1, but that was never going to happen. You know, the board's been refreshed, it's been recharged. You know, Chris Nobles took on as chairman now, and after Ian Swire doing a great job there, fantastic job for the last few decades that he's been in charge. Chris has been a breath of fresh air. You know, works very closely with Mark. Them two bounce off each other very well. There's no doubt that Sheffield Eagles are never not going to exist in Championship. You know, we're a force to be competing with, and we're looking forward to 2017 season.
Yeah, I mean, looking at the squad that's been assembled, there's some great players in there, really, isn't there, for this level?
Yeah, you know, we tried to maintain the squad. Some of the squad, or the majority of the squad from last year, you know, you always give or take, you lose one or two due to other interests and financially better offers. But, you know, we retained the majority of the squad from last year, which is pleasing because, one, it shows that we're loyal to them. Two, it shows that they're loyal to us. And they can play and they'll win us games this year. So, we'll see how the season goes.
Tell us a little bit about some of the new guys that you've got. I noticed Jordan Cox was on that list, wasn't he?
Yeah, Jordan, he was a funny one, actually. You know, we've seen that he got released or was coming out of Warrington. I'm good friends with Carl Fitzpatrick there, Warrington, the new CEO, which links up with the Irish stuff pretty well. So I had a good chat with Cox about car with him, and you know, obviously pass on his details. I gave him a ring and we had a good chat, and it was while we were in camp with Ireland. I was chatting with him, Mark had a chat with him. You know, Matt went and met him, and then obviously the rest is business. You know, the rest is done. It's been inked, and it's away in the filing cabinet. He's a great kid. He's young. He's enthusiastic. He's had a bit of a setback with an injury there at Warrington. You know, he's frustrated that he's come out of that system and he's come out of Super League. But again, he's very positive. He's very positive in the manner that this is a stepping stone back into that Super League, whether it's with us or whether it's with another club. And we're happy to assist him with that. As long as he produces goods in training on game days, and we'll be happy to run with that.
And to be fair, Sheffield are really good. They've got a real good track record of finding these like hidden gems and polishing them up and moving on.
Yeah, Mark's always had a good eye for the kids that, you know, that have come out of academy system or have been on the fringe of the first team. You know, he's got a good nose and a good eye for sniffing them out, and he brings them in as a development project, and then they turn out to be the diamonds or the gold or the gems, as you want to put it. And it's, the problem is then, is once you've done the business developing them, it's trying to keep hold of them. That's the problem, you know, that every club's got. And money always talks, but again, the fact that we offer at the club is that we offer the coaching, the environment, you know, ethos and qualities are second to none, and players never want to leave, and when they do leave, they always leave on good terms.
I think the key for Sheffield, they need to get back into Sheffield, don't they, and play the rugby there.
They do longer term, yeah, certainly, and I've seen pictures of the new ground actually being built.
Oh, it's actually up and running.
Yeah,
it?
Well, good. It's being built, and you good. Know, it's in the stages of all coming together. Right. So hopefully they do end up coming back to the city. That is key, and hopefully they can start producing some of their own players again. But they have got a really good track record of discovering youngsters that have been cast aside, shall we say, by other clubs, and polishing them up and sending them out again, really.
Yeah, Cochrane, he's been about, hasn't he?
He has, yeah. You wouldn't buy a second-hand car off him, would
no.
you? You know, I mean, he's done time in Toulouse, and he's played for Rochdale, and he's played for Oldham, and, you know, he's got a lot of miles under the belt himself, but he's always a top bloke to interview, to be honest.
Just wondering, Keith Senior was involved with the Eagles last season. Is he still there?
I'm not sure. I didn't ask him that, actually. I think he may still be on a match day, but
right,
I'm not
100% okay.
on that. Right. So we'll find out. I'll endeavour to find out. I'll put my Championship spies to use.
Okay, then, we've been up in Yorkshire for quite a bit of this Championship special on the Final Hooter on loveforbelieve.com. Let's go down to the capital as you caught up with London Broncos star player Daniel Harrison at the Championship launch.
So, Daniel Harrison, your third season now at London Broncos. How are you looking forward to it?
Yeah, mate, really looking forward to it. It's we've prepared well all pre-season and stuff, and just want to get the first game out of the way and get the boys to have a run around. It'll be good.
You've had quite a few games, haven't you, in pre-season?
Yeah, we've had a few few little pre-season games, and we've won them all, and the boys have really bought into trying to start the season well, and we've put it forward, and it's worked really well for us. So,
quite a few new boys as well joining the squad. Give us a bit of a summary.
Yeah, there's a couple of new boys. They're all fitted in pretty well. Like a couple of injured boys at the moment. We've got Bevins and Channers. They're injured at the moment, but they're coming back soon. We've got Don Grant. He's in there. Who else we got? Spenner. We've got that big Spenner. Yeah, Tom Spencer. He's been good up front for us. We've got Junior Rakika. He's come from Fiji. He's looking pretty good. Matty G. He's just come back from injury. He's looking really good. We've got Jay Pitts. Yeah, he's really slotted into the role real well. And Pertel. He's in there too. So we've got a lot of new boys coming in, and it's they've really gelled in and added something to our squad for this year.
All these fellas have a lot of experience of playing both Championship level and higher up. Obviously, you know, Pertel did years in Super League and NRL before.
Yeah. So they bring a lot of like enthusiasm and knowledge of like higher games and helps our younger boys out and helps us boys out and get us ready for what's to come and stuff and what we need to get to.
Does that help you as skipper?
Yeah, it does, mate. Yeah. They're good chap with the boys, and it doesn't, like, it helps the young blokes out, and like I try to help them out as well, but if you've got other blokes doing it as well, it makes it so much easier. So
let us just reflect on last season. Did you feel that the Broncos had performed above expectation last year?
I mean, like everyone's expectation in our team was to get to Super League. So, obviously, we didn't make that. But we thought we performed really well. Coming second in the league was above our expectations. We set a target for top four, and then halfway through the year we reevaluated and said, look, we can reach top two, which was above our expectations. So that was, and then obviously we stepped up trying to get to Super League. We didn't actually make it, but this year is another story. So hopefully we get a go at that again.
What was the experience like in the eights then in that case? Because you got suddenly teams like Leeds coming down to Ealing.
Yeah, it was a good experience. Obviously, a different level, whole again, like faster games, and it was just a good experience for the boys. And they really like slow to start into it, but we really took it in our stride and stuff, and had a couple of games and against the Super Leagues and pushed them a bit. So it was a real good experience, and hopefully it'll help us for this year.
I think that a lot of people look at this London squad, and it's really good on paper.
Yeah, it looks good on paper, and at the moment it's been looking good on field. So we'll see what happens.
Wow, that caught me short.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Yeah, well, that's what he wants. We see what happens, okay. And you weren't seeing what happened.
I didn't see what happened. the interview finished. Harrison, captain.
Yeah, but what has happened at London Broncos?
Captain Harrison.
What has happened at London Broncos is that they played two. They beat Swinton on the opening day of the season.
Right.
Lost narrowly to Hull Kingston Rovers. Really good match. Yeah, yeah. London Broncos 22, Hull Kingston Rovers 28. Jared Sammet, well, he went over for two tries. He's now just needs another four, and he scored 100 tries in British Rugby League.
Not a bad feat.
No, he's done really well. He's done really well ever since he came across. And I think he came across for a Magic weekend or something, didn't he?
Came for a Mad weekend and ended up staying 5 years.
7 years. Seven years later. But yeah, he's doing a great job down there at London Broncos. And I think that they'll go really well this season. I can see them again sort of challenging maybe top two.
I know Andrew Henson's the coach. How long will he stay there for, though? Will a bigger club come for him?
Well, I would hope so, because I think he's a very, very talented coach. He always speaks very enthusiastically about the game. Yeah. But for me, he's in the best job at the moment because he's got to bring that club together. Yeah. He succeeded in doing so down there at London.
Keeping the flag flying, isn't he?
They look like they're set for a big season, and I hope that they have a great season as well.
Everyone goes on about Bradford, the fall of them. Can the Broncos hit back to Super League? Can they do that?
I think that they will find it tough because in one way you've got to recruit a team that's going to get you out of the championship.
And then be financially stable.
And then have a look and see what's available to see what's going to keep you in Super League. And This is the battle any club that comes up from the championship has to have, you know. So you've got to build two sides, haven't you, really, in a very short space of time. Will Lee manage it? Will the Broncos be looking at how Lee are coping? I guess they've got another 20-odd games to go, haven't they, first of all?
Because you're forever hearing their respected journalists within the world of Rugby League saying there's no future for Rugby League in London. Not in Super League, anyway.
I would disagree. I think that when you've got such a great big population down there, there's always potential for it. Mm. You look at the way that club is being built now, and they really have settled in the Ealing area. They went out of the way last year to make that home, and they've got successful sides at under 16s, under 19s. They've got all youth structures in place. They talk with all the junior clubs.
They weren't doing that in the past, were they?
Well, possibly not, but they talk with the likes of your Scholars and your Oxfords of the world as well. And you see players that actually go between those clubs as well. So they're all getting experience of Rugby League, which is what it's all about. And what they've got that's different from the North, they've not got any preconceptions, so they're just a brand new entity, really. Even though they've been down there 30 years, they don't have, any great, rifts or anything like that.
Not like in the early days where Reggie Bolden's men trained in Warrington.
No.
The game on a Sunday in London.
Well, that's it, yeah. Or, you don't go and train behind the Boar's Head in Lee and then end up just jumping on a bus to get you down to Crystal Palace and that type of stuff. Like, I know what's happened in the past as well.
Continuing our journey of Championship clubs, let's go from London to Halifax.
I think if you speak to any of the coaches, they'll be happy with where the team is. And that's what we get paid to do. We finished the season off, rest, recuperate, and then we look forward to the next season, and that's what we've done. I think we've prepared very well this year. We've got a smaller squad, we've had a little bit of adversity off the field, but we're over that, we're through all that, and roll on Sunday.
I last saw Halifax when they played against Widnes a few weeks ago. Do you feel like you moved on from that?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we. I thought the first half we were very good. I thought our defence was good, and second half we changed the team around, and I think the game went away from us. But we improved on the week before, and we played Salford last week. We improved on the Widnes performance. So in terms of the friendlies, we haven't won any, but we've improved in every one. So if we continue that in vein of form for the first month of the season, we won't be far off.
You've got plenty of young players this season as well, haven't you, that are still looking to make their way in the game?
We have, yeah. Unfortunately for us, Brandon Moore, one of our key hookers, has broke his hand, which is unfortunate, so we're going to lose him for 8 weeks. So before we've even kicked a ball in anger, we're down a squad member, and we haven't got the biggest squad in the world, but we've got some experience there that can support that, and we run our reserve grade as well, so we've got some youth. You know, a lot of the teams in our competition don't do that, don't invest in that. We do. I'm looking forward to seeing a couple of them progress again this year. Without that last year, we probably wouldn't be where we are now.
And it's been good, that reserve setup, hasn't it, for Halifax over the last couple of years. It's produced several first team players.
Yeah, we got four. I think we got four or five through last year in terms of the first team squad. There's still a little bit to do, and being in the Championship Shield exposed them players to the rigours of the Championship. We didn't overperform, if I'm being honest, in that competition, but we felt we learnt a lot out of it. I certainly did as coach, and that's the important thing, isn't it? But we've got to use that them experiences now this year to make us better and stronger.
What would constitute a good season for Halifax this time?
Well, I want to be a consistent team. I want to be a thorn in other teams' side. You know, listen, if we get in the top four, then that is fantastic for the club. But I think we're short term. We're looking at short term goals this year in terms of what we can do over 3 or 4 weeks. We know the big prize and the picture and what it takes to get into the top four. We also know on the other side, not to get in the four and play in the Championship Shield. And you know, and if we improve every week, keep our team fit and well, I'll be really confident that we're there and thereabouts at the end of the year.
I'll tell you what, the way Halifax have gone over the last 12 months, he won't be feeling confident of keeping his job, will he? He's a coach under pressure, Richard Marsh, after that great season in the first Super 8. Last season and into this season, they've only won 3 of the last 15.
Yeah, it's not the best of runs that Halifax find themselves on at the moment, and they were comprehensively beaten at the weekend by Batley, 24-6. And we must pay a bit of credit here to Batley, who are being led around the field by Dominic Brambani, who just needs one more game till he reaches 300 in his career.
How old is Dominic Brambani?
Oh, he's only about 32 at
is
the moment.
Is that all?
Yeah, he's just been around a long time.
It seems like he's been around for ages.
He's been around. He's had quite a number of clubs, to be fair, and he's always
been
one.
Journeyman.
Well, no, he's always been one of the top. He was, you know, he did a really long stint at Sheffield where he did like 175 games. You know, but he's certainly ruling the roost at Batley and guiding them forward. And it ended up where Richard Marshall ended up apologising after that game because they lost 24-6. I mean, some terrible conditions.
Will he keep his job? Can he turn it round?
I think that he can turn it round. But, I mean, you heard there, he wasn't really saying, yeah, we're definitely going for top four or anything like that. He was playing it down, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And I know that there has been a big turnover in that squad, and there's quite a lot of inexperienced players, like I asked about. So, you know, they're always, again, they're another side of Halifax that has a lot of potential, but it's whether he is now the coach to get that potential out, to be fair. And, I guess we'll wait and see over the course of the season. But it's not been a good start.
Before we hear from the favourites to go with Hull Kingston Rovers, let's step away from the Championship and step onto the road to Wembley. It's at round three. We had round two done and dusted recently. The amateurs sort themselves out to fight for the chance to be in the same hat as the League One teams. The draw was made by Stephen Ratchford and Ryan Brawley. And this is the draw for the third round. It's West Hull or Fat O'Heath Crusaders versus Whitehaven. Harrow Stags take on London Scholars. Fryston Warriors versus Keighley Cougars. University of Gloucestershire All Goals take on North Wales Crusaders. Newcastle Thunder versus Workington Town. Doncaster v Mason Warriors. Sid have got the dream time. They take on Toronto Wolfpack. Barrow Raiders versus Rochdale Mayfield. York City Knights versus Egremont Rangers. South Wales Iron Men versus Oxford. Huntsford versus Coventry Bears. West Warriors versus Haydock. And those ties to be played on the weekend of
the 25th.
25th and 26th of February.
Tell you what, there's some cracking ties there. I mean, the one that I'm sort of going to look out for is Barrow taking on the Rochdale Mayfield, because they actually play them in a couple of weeks' time anyway in the League One Cup. So it's going to be an interesting precursor in that one. And Haydock have done so, so well to get this far in the competition, and they've got the chance to progress further against the London club West.
Now, if you're Siddle, would you play at Halifax, or would you have them at your own patch?
I'd have them on the own patch. You've got to make it as messy as you can, haven't you?
Paul Rowley's men won't fancy that if it is at Siddle.
No. Again, that's a real intriguing tie, isn't it? Because, I mean, Siddle, the premier amateur club in the country. They won the National Conference League last season. They're after a similar sort of campaign this year and taking on the Toronto Wolfpack, again looking to make their bow in rugby league.
Be a lot of interest in that game. I wonder if that'll be on the BBC website.
I wouldn't be very surprised.
I wouldn't be surprised as well. Just one more interview to go from the Championship launch. Huckinson Rovers, how they started the season?
Well, they've won both their games. They beat Bradford 54-24, and at the weekend they defeated London Broncos. We're going to hear from Sean Lunt when Adrian had a chat with him.
For me personally, I played in the Championship for 3 years, so it's not going to be a massive change for me. So, but for some of the boys, I've never played in the Championship, so for them it's going to be really surreal. But like I say, we've got a great squad together and we're really looking forward to it.
Obviously, you guys must have been disappointed to lost your Super League status in the manner that you did.
Oh, I think to say we're disappointed is probably the biggest understatement I've ever heard in my life. It was absolutely devastating. It really was for all our families as well. You know, going in the changing room and seeing your own kids, seeing other players' kids crying and the missus crying. It was really one thing that hit home. You know that. There's more to you, you know, than just a rugby player, you know, in your life. And it was like the families that really get, you know, caught up in it all as well, you know. So it was heartbreaking. It really was. So, but it's done now. There's no point crying over spilt milk, and it's time to do business and crack on.
So moving forward, I suppose that's a good motivation now to put that right in. Get back to where you feel you belong.
The club's been in Super League for the last 10 years now, and it's like I say, it was shocking that we got relegated, but at the same time we deserved it, you know what I mean? We shouldn't have been in that position, but at the same time, like I say, we're just going to work as hard as we can and be under any illusion that it's going to be an easy passage this season. And and myself and the boys, obviously we know it's not going to be easy, so we need to just like you said, dig deep and work our behinds off.
Can you say the Championship's a tough old league, and I suppose a lot of the clubs will be looking at you as a cup final?
Yeah, definitely. Like you say, we're the Super League side that's been relegated, so every time we play a team, they're gonna raise their game 20-30%. So it's going to be very. It's going to be all mental with us. You know, we know we're capable, like physically, and like the squad that we've got. We know we're good enough, but we can't, like I say. But some of the other teams, out, like I say, that like your London squads. You know, you look at Feversham, you look at Batley away. Do you know what I mean? They're all good squads. So it's all about mental and that approach that you take to the games that are so called easy. Do you know what I mean? And there's no easy game in rugby, as we found out last year against Oldham at home in the Challenge Cup.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Across Warrington Hospital.
Across Warrington Hospital.